To be seated for our Bible readings, the first of which you'll find on page 206. Page 206. We turn to the 30th chapter of the book Deuteronomy. And then for our second Bible reading, we're going to turn to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'll give you that page number in a few moments' time. But first, we turn to the opening verses of Deuteronomy chapter 30 on page 206. Well, let us listen with care to this portion of God's word. And when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecute you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we turn to the 24th chapter of Luke, the 36th verse. That's on page 1066 of our church Bibles, 1066. Let us give careful attention to these words of Scripture. As they, that is the disciples, were talking about these things, about what happened on the road to Emmaus, etc., Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marvelling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're going to turn to the opening verses of Deuteronomy chapter 30, page 206 in our church Bibles. We're going to look at some words that God spoke to his people through Moses long ago. Words of encouragement, words of hope, words to lift the spirit. Let's pray for God's blessing as we consider these words. Oh Lord, how we thank you indeed for the written word of you, the living God. And how we thank you, O Lord, that your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And how we thank you, Lord, that you cause the scriptures to be written for our instruction, for our learning, for our encouragement in your service. Oh, speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Encourage our hearts this Lord's Day, this first Lord's Day of this year, 2018. May we look to you. May we look to you for you to do great things within us and amongst us. May we wait upon you. May we be faithful and true to you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice from these verses of Scripture, we're looking at the first five verses of Deuteronomy chapter 30. The first thing that I want you to notice is that God reminds, informs his people that he will do what he has promised to do. And that in itself is an encouragement to us. God keeps his word. God is true to his word at all times. Ah, my friend, do you realize that? Do you rejoice in that fact? Or are you somebody who is looking to other people for ideas, for inspiration? Oh, we should look to the Lord, and we should listen to the Lord, and we should remember the Lord's word to his people. Here he's telling his people through his servant Moses that he keeps his word. Now, do I hear you asking the question? Where do we find that stated in these verses? Well, come with me to the first verse. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. See, God's saying, these things are going to come to pass. Well, what is it that you and I can expect will come to pass? What is it that the people of God of ancient times, some 3,500 years or so ago, could expect to see happen? Well, that God would bless them when they were faithful and true to him. And that God would discipline them when they proved faithless to him. We've been seeing, haven't we, that in these chapters of Deuteronomy, God has been saying to his people, look, there's my blessing promised to you when you're faithful and true, when you walk humbly and obediently with me, the Lord your God. What are you going to experience? You're going to experience my hand for good upon you. All of that's been spelled out in the preceding chapters. But there's been the reverse of all that also spelled out. Be warned, be warned. It's as though God has been saying through his servant Moses, be warned that if you're not faithful and true to me, if you're disobedient, if you wander away, if you backslide, you will find my displeasure is what you experience. There's the blessings and there's the curses. And here God says through his servant, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I set before you, and you call them to mind. Yes, you see, that's the second thing we want to notice. Yes, God is the God who keeps his word. And God's people are to be the people who call his word to mind. They're to bring it to mind. That means they're to remember it. There's a responsibility for you and me in the coming year to challenge ourselves afresh. Are we going to call his word to mind day in and day out as he wants us to? God caused the scriptures to be written for our instruction and for our learning. God wants you and me to let the word of God dwell in us richly. So we are to be those, therefore, who call to mind what he has made known, what he has said. You remember how the prophets came to put it? Man like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, what were they really doing in their day? They were saying to the people of their day, to the word and to the testimony, note what God has said and be faithful and true to he who has given his word to us. So during this coming year, are you going to be an individual who remembers God keeps his word? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And are you going to be a person who during this coming year brings that word to mind? Are you going to be an individual who has it as your priority to bring that word to mind? Well now, if you're going to have that as a priority, which I trust you will, that means that you must have a discipline to sit under that word. So I want to ask you, do you have a private personal discipline where in the privacy of your own home you read the scriptures or listen to the scriptures? Do you remember what Frank Nags did in the closing years of his long life here on earth? Frank became increasingly aware of his weakness and fragility due to the advancing symptoms of Parkinson's disease. And he knew that it was difficult to hold the scriptures in his hands. He knew that it was difficult not just to get going if he tried to get out of a seat and to walk, but also to sit for long and not fall asleep. And so what did he do? He bought a whole series of discs on which the scriptures were recorded, from Genesis through to Revelation. And every single day that he was able to, on would go the disc player. And he would listen to the word of God. And when you went to visit him, he would tell you where he got to as he worked his way through the Bible again. If we're able to hold the scriptures and if we're able to read the scriptures, that's what we should do. If we can't do either of those things, we can listen to the scriptures. And we would make it a point of providing you with some discs of the scriptures, if that would help you. But you see, we need to be men and women who are committed to hearing God's word, and then who will fulfill his purpose of bringing that word to mind. You see, you've got to have heard it if you're going to be able to bring it to mind. You've got to hear the promises of God if you're going to be able to remember the promises of God and then plead those promises before God. So the people of God remind themselves that the word of God stands forever and that God keeps his word. And the people of God say to themselves, my job, my responsibility, individually and with his people, is to listen to his voice, his word, by which he wants us to live. Now, the third thing we need to notice from this portion of scripture is that there will be times when we need to come to our senses. Why do I say that? Well, note what's said in these verses, and in particular, you get a hint of it at the end of verse 1, but then you get more of it spelled out in the verses that follow. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, and he's going to focus now on the curse, which I've set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. You see, there will be times in our lives when we need to return to the Lord our God. At the end of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, we read of what will happen when the people of God prove unfaithful. Let me remind you of what it says, verses 64 and following, at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the Lord will scatter you. This is those who are disobedient. The Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you will serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite. There shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, and failing eyes, and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread, and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "If only it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "If only it were morning," because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sighs that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promise you should never make again. There you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. There'll be no buyer. See, it's a state of misery that is painted in those words that will come upon the backslider, upon the person who forsakes the Lord, the person who forgets his word, the person who thinks they know better than God, the person who pursues the agenda of the world around them, the agenda of their own hearts, instead of the ways of God. Yes, you see, we need to remind ourselves it is possible to backslide. It's possible to grow cold. It's possible to forsake our Lord, his word, and his ways. Yes, every child of God should have it as their priority to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. We'll say more about that in a moment. That's to be their priority. And therefore, if they're going to do that, they must be those who are hungering and thirsting for God's word. They want to let God's word dwell in them richly. So they're going to grab, as it were, with both hands, every opportunity that they have day in and day out to spend time with God. In the privacy of their homes, they'll do that in the secret place. They'll even do it with their loved ones, their family. But they'll also come together with God's people when God's people are meeting, because God has promised that he's going to bless his people as they wait upon him. There is a day for sacred assembly, a day when the people of God congregate together. And every child of God should be saying to himself, yes, when the people of God meet on the Lord's Day, I'm going to be there, health permitting. I'm going to be there because I need to know God's word, and I need to bring that word to mind day in and day out. So you and I should be praying that all people associated with this church will be there when the people of God are meeting. That all of us will be seeking to be together to listen to God's word together. And all of us should be saying, I'm going to walk with the Lord in the privacy of my own home. I'm going to keep close to him. I'm going to remind myself day in and day out of his commands, of his will for me. Because his commands are not burdensome to his people. They delight in the law of the Lord. Oh, isn't that a great theme of so many psalms? Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 119. We can mention. Well, is that a picture of you, my friend? A one who delights in the law of the Lord. Well, the time will come when we need to be restored. And here there's this glorious, wonderful promise put before the people of God, who are called to remember God keeps his promises, who are called to remember that God's people are to live by God's promises, by God's word. But if they are those who have forsaken him, then they need not despair, for they can remind themselves that he's promised restoration to his people. And that's what's spoken of here in these verses, is it not? Look at verse 3, for example, that so positively illustrates that point. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. He's the God who restores. He's the God who saves. He's the God who rescues individuals from their lost state. And he is the God who restores his people if they draw back from him and prove unfaithful for a while. They can rest on the promise of restoration. But notice, and this isn't the language of salvation by works. Notice who it is that God restores. Well, yes, it's his child, his children, who return again to his word. That's the emphasis that's being put upon. The words that are used by Moses are pointing us to this glorious fact that a child may return to God's word. And the person who returns to God's word, what does he or she discover? The Lord returns to them. There's a parallelism, as it were, between what the child of God does and what God does for the child of God who seeks his face afresh. They return to his word and he returns to them. They go turn back and restore the habits and practices that they adopted when they were first converted to Christ. Oh, they wanted to hear his word. They were eager to read his word, to meet with his people. They had joy and happiness as they walked with his people after they came to faith. But then they've grown cold. They've been a little bit like a coal that is taken out of a fire. And once it's taken out of the fire, it gradually goes cold because there's no other coals around about to keep it burning bright. But the Lord will restore and bring back his people. But the promise is to those who return to the Lord their God. So they remind themselves of God's promises. And they say to themselves, where is the joy that once I knew when I walked with the Lord? Ah, I want to know that again. And so they go back to God and his word. And they find that God, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, is there on the lookout for them, ready to see them come over the horizon and to come back home. And he has his arms wide open, ready to receive the child who's proved so faithless, who squandered the glorious privileges that have been shared with him, and who has even been brought so low that he's eating, as it were, the food, the swill given to pigs. That's the consequence of disobedience. But there's the Father, ready to receive us back and to restore us. But notice, and this is a theme that comes out repeatedly in these first 10 verses or so of this chapter. Oh, the ones who know the joy of being restored are those who are sincere in their seeking of the Saviour, of their God. Verse 2. When you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Do you remember what Jeremiah says? Those who seek the Lord with all their heart shall find him. Do you sometimes wonder why it seems as though the Lord is far away? Perhaps it's because you're not seeking him with all your heart. You've not come to the end of yourself, as it were. You're still relying on your understanding, your way of seeing things, your way of doing things. We need to come, my friends, to the point where we realize we are miserable, pitiful sinners who can do nothing without Jesus Christ. We need him. We need him. And we are to seek him and seek him sincerely. And those who seek him sincerely shall undoubtedly find him. Well, that's what Moses is being used of God to remind these people here. Yes, if you seek him today with all your heart and with all your soul. And that theme, as I say, is repeated in these verses. For example, verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And then verse 10 speaks in a similar vein, doesn't it? When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This isn't salvation by works, my friend. But this is genuine repentance. And this is genuine faith. Yes, we are called to repent and believe. And the evidence of repentance is that we are saying, I cannot save myself. Only Christ can save me. And so I am going to seek the Lord with all my heart and with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength. We can add those two terms as well, can't we? Because that's what our Saviour teaches us. But he's only restating that which we find in the first part of the Bible. Because God is the covenant God who deals with people in every age in the same way. He's the God who gives promises, and he's the God who promises blessing upon those who walk humbly and obediently with him. And he's the God who warns of curses on those who forsake him. This isn't salvation by works. This is salvation by grace through faith. And the evidence of faith is that we repent. And repentance is something of the heart. The older theologians used to call this evangelical repentance. It's repentance based upon the promises of Almighty God, not a repentance based upon our limited understanding of the commands and of obedience to God. No, no. This is true repentance from the heart, that we seek the Lord. And I pray that during 2018 we will individually and corporately be those whose earnest, passionate concern it is that we would see men and women and boys and girls truly repenting and believing on God. My dear friend, if that's not your concern, you have to ask whether you truly are a believer yet. Because true believers are concerned for the lost. And they're concerned for the lost because they know they were lost until they were found by Christ. And until they found new life through the power of the Spirit in Christ. And they know that it's a dreadful thing to be separated from Almighty God forever. It's a dreadful thing to be dead in trespasses and sins. The true believer knows that, and the true believer passionately is concerned. Oh, Lord God, bring from darkness to light those for whom Christ Jesus died 2,000 or so years ago. May we see them, seek him and find him in these days. We have no idea who the elect of God are. No idea. God knows. But what we know is faith comes by hearing, and therefore people need to hear the word of God. They need to be summoned to repent and believe, because Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord of everyone. Every single individual is answerable to Jesus Christ. That's our confidence. That's our hope. That's what we rest upon in these days. Everybody is answerable to Christ. But we who know the Lord, we don't want to hear the Saviour say, "Depart from me," to individuals. So we want to be used of God to pray for their salvation and to labour and work for their salvation as well. Well, you'll not be able to do that if the word of God isn't dwelling in you richly. If you're not resting on God, if you're not resting on his glorious and precious promises and this wonderful promise of restoration to those who have backslidden. Oh, he's going to restore. And he's going to restore in a wonderful, glorious way. Let's close by focusing on how glorious the restoration is. Will be. What does it say here? In verse 4 and 5, if your outcasts are in the outermost parts of heaven, in other words, think of the earth under the heavens and think of the furthest part of the earth under the heavens. If somebody has been scattered abroad from being amongst God's people because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord, then the Lord your God's going to gather you and he's going to take you, and the Lord your God will bring you back. And the language here is obviously used in terms that the people of God of ancient times would understand. Here they are. They're looking over the Jordan into the land of promise. And they know that that's the land that God is going to give them. But they also know that that's just a type and a shadow of what God's got in store for his people. Because we know that, don't we, from the book of Hebrews. Abraham, he was looking beyond this world to eternity. What God has for his people and the people of God. Yes, we're going to go into that land. We're going to be able to occupy that land. But that's a picture to us of the great blessings that God has in store for his people. And we're now living in a day and age when Jew and Gentile, not just Jew, not just Israelite, will be numbered amongst God's people. And God's promise is that many people from the nations, from every tribe and language grouping, will be gathered into the kingdom of Almighty God. Yes, he promises great things. He's going to do great things. He's going to build his church. The backsliders will be restored, and those who have not yet believed, many of them will come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. And what will the people of God discover? What will they discover? They will discover that as the Lord restores them, they will be those who take possession of what God has for his people. And they will be those who find that they are blessed richly by God. So much so that they will find that they are, as it puts it here at the end of verse 5, more prosperous and more numerous than their fathers. Don't you find that encouraging you? 12 of us here in this building tonight. But the promise of God, as we walk humbly, truly, and obediently with the Lord, is that his church will be built. In other words, it's going to be many more than 12. That's what God is like. But God's people are to be those who are wholeheartedly committed to him. That's the character of the true believer, of the true believer who is walking with the Lord. We're to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we will only ever be able to do that, one, in the power of his Spirit, and two, as we understand and know his word dwelling in us richly. That's what the people of God in ancient times were being told. Ah, what an encouraging message this is. What an uplifting message at the beginning of a new year. Let us look to the Lord and let us anticipate great things from his hands. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, how we thank you that you are the one who keeps your great and precious promises. Lord, how we thank you that you call us to be those who let the word of God dwell in us richly. And how we thank you, O Lord, that when we go through times of testing because of our unfaithfulness, because we've allowed ourselves to drift and backslide, O Lord, how we thank you that we can remember your promise of restoration, and your promise of, as it were, making good the years that the locusts have eaten. For you have promised that there will be blessings greater than those which our fathers have known. So we look to you, Lord, and we plead and we pray that we would see you richly do a work amongst us here in Elswick, in these days. O Lord our God, come. Restore your people, revive your people according to your promise. Build your church and cause glory, praise, and honour to be given to Jesus Christ, our glorious Saviour, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, let's